aboard, you people. Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. For another day of broadcast insolence right here on 720 WGN.
People all across Chicago stress eating right now in advance of the Bears game. Do we have a kicker? What's happening? It's troubling.
I mean, it is. You see, the thing is, there is no good answer here.
What do you mean?
Because I don't, there's not, how could, pardon me, I'm just going to try and get the sentence out. I believe I speak for all of us. Mm-hmm. When I say all of us, I mean everybody in Bears Nation, everybody in Chicago, everybody around the world who, you know, cares about the blue and the orange,
sure,
and cares about George Halas's hat.
Fans and super
people,
fans alike.
Yeah, right. Hey, Mary Pitt, who's going to kick for us tonight?
Oh, God, I wish we had her around. She could tell us.
I really feel like we got trouble in River City because even though Kevin and his uncle, Ed Obradovich, I think I'm, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a DNA Me 23 or whatever the hell that thing is called. And I'm going to find out if you two are actually related because I kind of see it a little bit, sort of look a little alike. You sort of have the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Had the same haircut from the 1960s. Right. There's a lot of things going on here that I think tell me that you two are on the same page. You know, we don't need this. We should be better than a kicker. No. See, a kicker makes it. I don't know if you were watching the games yesterday in the NFL. Some of those did come down to last minute kicks, right? Missed extra points. That's important stuff.
No, I agree. I'm not dismissing the importance of the kicker on the roster. What I'm saying is in this particular game, if they have to rely on a kicker, they got some serious trouble on their hands. That's all I'm saying, because Washington's banged up. They have a bad defense. This should be the game where Mitch and the offense figure it out. That's all I'm saying for this particular game. It's certainly something to be worried about.
So they should win 18 to nothing is what you're saying.
I hope it's
12
more
to
than
nothing.
Honestly, like I think, you know, with
like old football timey scores.
Hey, win's a win, but this is the game the offense should break out. There's no excuses here.
Okay, and the defense is obviously is very solid, and there are some question marks everywhere for the Washington Redskins. But that's exactly the kind of that describes a trap game to me.
Yeah, on the road, primetime game, mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know why I feel at ease about this one, but
okay.
You never know in the NFL, and we saw some crazy stuff over the weekend, too, so
mm-hmm.
It's never easy, but there are no excuses for this game. If Mitch and the offense looks the same as they did in Week 2 and Week 1,
okay.
I cannot wait to tune in and listen to OB rip them apart after the game, because there are no excuses tonight. They should win this game, and they should win it by double digits.
12 points.
12-0.
That's all. All right. 12-0 is the right. That,
because
that
they
is...
missed 2-point conversions because they don't have a kicker.
Exactly. Right.
Whatever.
It is. I mean, it's like Three Stooges football back there now. You know,
yeah.
Where you got people running around and in circles, and you don't. Are you handing off to a guy? You're not handing off to a guy.
It's the offense has been atrocious. It's been atrocious the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right.
I'll let you know when we get the injury report.
Now, if you're all right, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that Elliott Fry guy who was the other guy
runner
in
up,
camp,
right?
Yeah. Run up
to Eddie Pinheiro,
right, to be the kicker.
Are you staring at your phone waiting for the call?
Or
from
do
Ryan
you
Pace?
Just show up at the Washington Stadium tonight?
Heard you guys need a kicker. I'm available. Really, not doing anything.
You buy a ticket somewhere and then you text some people on the team like, "Hey, dudes, I'm here at the game. Case you know,
you guys
I'm
remember
just
me?
Gonna watch it. I got I still have my jersey.
How's Eddie's knee?" Show up in uniform.
Shows up in uniform, but the wrong color.
Right.
Right, he's got the blue jersey as opposed to the white jersey, and he's going to be like, "I don't. Well, hey, we're good.
Put me in, coach. I'm here for you."
So he injured himself lifting weights. Isn't that something? Doesn't the team supervise that whole weightlifting thing?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but it happened in the weight room, which you just I don't know what happened.
Okay,
that's
I don't you. I don't think we want to know because
right.
What if
maybe
it's a situation where he tripped over a dumbbell?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, how do you really hurt yourself in the weight room?
I was thinking more so he actually walked into a piece of equipment, like right knee straight to like some metal.
Oh.
It's like, ah, ooh.
Oh,
ow.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
That's a good theory.
It's a good
Could
theory,
be.
But not a good idea because then he's clumsy, which means we can expect more of this. Oh, gosh. Bubble wrap him.
I could just bubble wrap his leg. I mean, really, and the thing is, the kid did have like a Rudy moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
He not only does he win the game winner, right, in Denver, but then he gets named the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Khalil Mack was tweeting about him. When would you ever think Khalil Mack would be tweeting about the kicker?
Right. Yeah, the guys on the defense
don't often
like
know each
either.
Other, right?
I don't know who they hate. I don't know if defensive guys hate offensive guys more or special teams guys more, but everybody kind of hates the kicker, right? But they know how important, and after the double doink, we learned how important it is.
It's very important.
And actually, this guy was a guy from New Orleans, right? Missed his first kick in like, in first extra point yesterday mm-hmm. in something like 90 tries.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. Was that costly in that game? It wasn't. There was a.
It was not costly in that game. No, but it was. But I mean, it made it interesting at the end.
Yeah, I think the narrative that the players, you know, the kickers sort of looked down on. I think in the NFL, in the football world, because mm-hmm. You know, you got linemen in the trenches who are beating each other up, and it's nasty and ferocious. And then you got the kicker on the sideline who doesn't get touched by anybody. So I think that's sort of where that the feelings have gone toward the kicker. But I think everybody understands the importance of having a great kicker.
Yeah.
Look back to the playoffs last year when Greg Zuerlein was kicking 50-yarders, making it look easy and helping the Rams get to the Super Bowl, while the player, which shall not be named, was double doinking the end of the season for the Bears. There's no dismissing the importance of the kicker. Yeah, nightmares.
I thought I was going to take this sound effect out of our little system. I did. I thought, okay, you know what?
We're done with that.
After
cleanse.
Last weekend, I'm like, yeah, we could have an official retiring of that. Now we can't. Now we can't because now we got a guy with the thing.
Top of mind.
The guy who hit a dumbbell with his knee. Which I think happens probably in most plays in the NFL. Anyway, it's a separate issue. All right, thank you.
But I hope he's playing and I hope he's okay. We need him.
I know that Ben Bradley is as upset about this as all of us. And let me tell you what's coming up on the program right after we talk to Ben Bradley and then the news at the bottom of the hour. See this story about a proposed ordinance in the city that would raise the Chicago's minimum wage to $15 by 2021 and eliminate the tip credit for restaurants? So restaurants would not be able to get below the, which they currently are below the minimum wage, because they are, because you've got tips that go in. And it's creating quite a frenzy here in Illinois, in Chicago and Northern Illinois. It's like, it's a crazy thing that's happening here.
When would it go into effect under this proposal? Is it like next year?
Yes.
I thought it was pretty soon.
Yeah. It would go in fairly, I think, first of the year. So we'll find out from the principals on that. We're going to be joined by the
very cool
Illinois Restaurant Association CEO, Sam Toya, and we'll also get some thoughts from people who have been on the service side of this mm-hmm. as well. But first, Ben Bradley is going to join us in the WGN-TV newsroom after Kim tells us what's happening in the news at her bottom of the hour.
Rose State lawmakers want to snuff out vaping. We'll bring you the details of their plan coming up.
Then there's this. Tonight, the Chicago Bears, they're on WGN-TV. The reigning NFC North champs battle Washington. Bears-Redskins, Monday Night Football. It's on WGN-TV. Kickoff tonight at 7.
All right.
Woo.
That's what we're talking about here. Ben Bradley joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom.
We're all very excited to have the Bears game on the old number 9 tonight.
Howdy. Oh,
big.
Yeah. Mike Lowe's actually been working up a couple of stories that'll be fun. Before and after the game, one of them is looking at how the Bears have been a part of pop culture over the decades. And it's been kind of a fun look down memory lane there.
Yeah.
So we'll have that for you, I believe, after the game tonight at 9 o'clock.
All I know is I used to cry when the Bears lost.
And 5 o'clock.
I think I'm not alone in that. And any given Sunday, if the Bears lost, the tears would start. And that ended...
Two Sundays ago?
Yeah.
I was going to say, when did they officially break your heart? How old were you?
Oh, man. 8. 9. Yeah. It started then. I mean, where I would really get into it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of kids, right? Isn't that pretty standard? And then, although, I have to say, it did trouble me. I mean, it would ruin Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for me.
Yeah.
Up until I was, I think, the kind of mid-30s, maybe.
Well,
maybe 40.
So,
I don't know.
So I can remember, you know, the 85 Bears, right? They were the team, you know, as I came into consciousness of professional sports. So as a kid, when you have Walter Payton and Jim McMahon and Mike Singletary mm-hmm. and you know, that whole crew, and you're watching that on Sundays, you just assume that's how the Bears always play, right? Because that's your only point
yes.
of reference.
Oh, so Dave Wannstedt broke your heart. Is that what you're saying?
Dave Wannstedt broke my heart. I'm like, how could they fire Mike Ditka?
I know.
Well, that was heartbreaking.
Cubs are going to go through that.
Well, I was about to say, you know, people are like, oh, well, how could they fire Joe Maddon? I mean, I understand, but he's such a character. And I just said, Ditka. Remember Ditka?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good point.
Kind of a similar situation, right? Both of them led not only through skill, but also through their force of personality.
Mm-hmm. And how about Joel Quenneville?
Right, exactly.
Oh, excellent. Heartbreaking.
Example. Yeah.
Exactly.
So. Ozzie Guillen.
Yep. Another one.
But I think he's coming back. I think there's something. I don't know. I see something happening here. All right. Let's talk about a couple things. First of all, over the weekend, there was police believe that they have now been in a gun battle confrontation with the guy who was behind the West Loop shooting, as well as, maybe Rogers Park, too. Where are we?
No. They have said now that they do not think this guy is connected to those two unsolved shootings up in Rogers Park. There was some speculation on social media, because kind of looked alike, dressed alike, similar MO. That maybe this is the guy, but police have said no, it's not. So for those who are kind of just catching up on this story, remember last week you had at lunch hour, a busy weekday lunch hour in the Fulton Market District. Like, this is over by, the new McDonald's corporate headquarters, and, this place is, from a real estate perspective, on fire. And you had a guy on an electric bike ride up and shoot a woman who, as far as we know, remains hospitalized right now. Police originally said that they thought maybe she had been targeted. So as police began to release surveillance video, first from the street, and then reporters were able to obtain surveillance video from a bike shop that this guy was in getting his electric bike repaired before the shooting. Chicago police tech teams were able to track his movements. And on Saturday morning, the fugitive response team went down to a home on the south side. And as I understand it from police sources, this is, a home where it's kind of divided up. You got a bunch of different rooms. And they had one information on one specific. They thought he was in one specific room. So you had the majority of your officers go in the front. And they, as a source tells me, they had two officers kind of standing out in back. And so as the officers went into the front of the house, a guy kind of comes out the back very calmly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The officers apparently didn't immediately realize he was a threat. And that's when he took a shot, hit the officer in the groin.
And that police officer is going to be okay. Right?
Thankfully. Which is amazing. Think about it. A couple of gunshots to the groin area. A lot of blood loss.
Thank you, Ben. We'll see you on the WGN TV starting at 4 o'clock.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you. Kim Gordon's got the news coming up in 2 minutes. Bro Concho with Anna DeVlantzis right here on 720 WGN.
All right.
The proposal now for Chicago. Now listen to this. Listen to this. You go to a restaurant. Been to a restaurant? Anybody here been to a restaurant?
I think.
I love a good restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. I think most of us have.
No.
Weird. Someone hasn't been to a restaurant.
The
restaurant?
Well, so what we'll do, let me explain what's going to happen. There's a proposed ordinance being considered by Chicago aldermen aiming at tackling the unpredictability of the tipping system by eliminating the sub-minimum wage that allows employers to count workers' gratuities toward their base pay. So right now, the workers in restaurants can make as little as $6.40 an hour.
Even less in the county, right? If you go outside the city.
And then you would have to, $13 an hour is the current minimum wage in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Rising to 15 by 2021.
Yeah, less than half, right? But they say, well, they're getting tips. So what are they complaining about? That's basically the take here. And this is always going to be an issue for the restaurant industry. Where, costs, labor costs specifically here, will be the question about how many waiters can you hire, and then what happens to the tips themselves. Sam Toya is joining us right now, and Sam is the CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association. Sam, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing?
All right. Thank you, Sam.
All right, so let's talk about So as a restaurateur, and I would imagine it's the same as the CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association. I'm assuming you're opposed to this.
Yes. Yes. As the ordinance is written right now, we are opposed to it because the ordinance is written to eliminate the tip wage. But one thing I want to make sure that everyone understands, no tipped employee can ever legally earn less than the minimum wage, just so everyone understands that. So it is not a sub-minimum wage. No tipped employee can ever legally earn less than the minimum wage. So if tips and the $6.40 an hour don't equal minimum wage, which is $13 right now, the employer has to make that up. And if they don't, obviously they could have the Office of Labor Standards of the City of Chicago come after them. They could have the Illinois Attorney General's Work Protection Unit come after them. And here's the big one, Ro. Here's the big one. They can have the Internal Revenue Service come after them. And no business owner wants the Internal Revenue Service coming after them.
No.
I believe that's true, Sam.
So you're talking to the restaurant owners. I'd imagine as a group, this is not a great idea to them. And you do hear from several of them saying this would mean the end for our business. Is it really that dire if they decide to do this? Does that mean we'll see businesses, restaurants close?
Well, you know, remember, think about this. So restaurateurs will need to find a way to endure a 144% labor cost increase for their tipped employees. And that's just crazy. Again, 144% labor cost increase for their tipped employees. So it's extremely challenging for restaurants. And then let's think about this. How about the 17 wards that touch the 28 municipalities and one state that have lower entry level and tip wages that are in place? Business likes to see uniformity. And we want the 17 wards that touch the 28 municipalities and one state, Indiana, the 10th ward, will not, you know, there won't be uniformity. And that will just kill the businesses in these 17 wards.
Well, similar arguments were made about the smoking ordinance and others. And I don't know that really had the same impact. I know this is different. This is a direct economic problem. We'll get to that in just a second. But the idea that you're still going to have, there are quality issues here that have to be considered. You've got the big restaurant industry downtown, right, where you've got steakhouses and big high-end restaurants. And then you're talking about the neighborhood guys, and how do you protect those neighborhood guys who are just, you know, struggling to stay in business that are, you know, like in Beverly, for example, where you're a block away from Evergreen Park, or you're a block away from, you know, one of those kinds
of things. How about, you know, Jefferson Park's a block away from Norwich, you know?
Exactly. And the 10th Ward is, you are right, is you have to go underneath the electric lines, but then you get into Indiana. And then and it is like going into a no man's land. I don't know. I've never fully understood it. Okay, let's talk about what happens to the tips, though. Let's say you go to $13 an hour for the minimum. Can the restaurateur take the tips and then take his cut out of the his or her cut out of the tips?
So if you eliminate the tipping, what would happen is a lot of restaurants could put a service charge on, and then they can do whatever they want with the tips. Once you get rid of the tip wage, it'd be like a tipping model. The service charge doesn't automatically go to the server or other front of the house staff. Instead, it could go to anyone the restaurateur wants it to go to. Go to the back of the house, go to the dishwashers, it could go to the maintenance guy. It doesn't matter who it goes to.
But currently, Sam, does the tip currently go in all circumstances to the server, and then the server is responsible for tipping out? How does that work in the system right now? What are the rules, at least, for that?
The rules is that the tip goes to the front of the house. It goes to the server.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is right now. You cannot take the tips. If you're using the tip wage, you can't take the tips and pass it out to anyone else in the front, in the back of the house, or anything like that. It has to go to the servers. It's a valid tip pools are allowed for the front of the house only.
Okay, and then but don't those guys, the men and women, the servers, tip out their busboys?
Yes, they usually do. Yes, Ro, they absolutely do. Yeah. But again, no tipped employee can ever legally earn less than the minimum wage.
Got it.
And the average, it's proven that the average wage person makes anywhere from $19 to $39 an hour. That's the average, $19 to $39. Some of these steakhouses, like you said, they're making six figures. And once in America, it's always been about tipping. You know what I mean? If we get away with the tip wage, what will happen is that tipping will kind of go away. And people won't make as much money as they make now. Bartenders and wait staff and busboys will not make the kind of money that they make now.
You're hearing from... I'm sorry, Sam. You hear from some servers who I think work at the places that Roe's talking about, the mom and pops that don't do the big business, the big corporate guys coming in with the big fat checks and stuff, that they're just more of the bread and butter style neighborhood places. And they're saying, I can't plan week to week, month to month, because it really, I can make, you know, X amount and I can make 2X that amount in a different month or a different week. And it's really hard to just plan and pay my bills. Those are some of the people who are big advocates of saying, hey, to just give me something that I can regularly rely on is would work better for me to be able to pay my bills.
I get what you're saying, Anna, but according to the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, these are their numbers, only 12 minimum wage complaints were filed by tipped employees in 2018, and only 3 were filed by tipped employees so far in 2019. So out of 400,000 minimum wage workers in Chicago, only 12 complaints were filed last year related to the tip wage. Again, no tipped employee can ever legally earn less than the minimum wage. If they do, the Office of Labor Standards is coming after them, the Illinois Attorney General's Work Protection Unit's coming after them, and as I said earlier, the Internal Revenue Service. And no business person wants them in their business.
I just want to be clear about this. Sam Toyas, who we're talking to, is the CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association, so you're the trade group for restaurateurs. I've noticed in the stories I have read that that issue of the minimum wage being sustained at least by the, if you don't make it in tips, the restaurant has to pay you that. I'm not seeing that in any of the stories today.
That is the truth, and that's okay. Why I'm so glad you have me on, you know, on air today so I can explain that. And then here's the other thing, Ro. 95%, maybe 99% of the restaurants out there use technology for their payroll system. Mm-hmm. So businesses, it's easily track their employees' tips and wages through their digital point of sale systems. So usually, when you're doing your payroll,
for tax
if it's
purposes,
not equaling more than minimum wage, you're using a payroll service. The payroll service will bring it up to minimum wage because they're trying to protect you from a class action suit. Because if you're not paying, you know, minimum wage between the tip, you know, the tipped employees are not equaling minimum wage between their tip wage and their tips, you could have a class action suit, and I can guarantee you no one wants a class action suit. So they use these payroll companies to make sure they're paying all their team members minimum wage,
right,
between tip and tip wage. And that's what I don't think people understand.
I just want to know, if you get the check and you pay the check in credit card but you leave the tip in cash, what happens there?
Well, okay, so 75% of the people now leave their tips on a debit credit card, but 25% still leave cash. And so the way person's supposed to report that cash, way person are supposed to report that cash.
Okay.
You can.
I hear you.
Can
Chicago, Sam, that. I hear you. I hear you. It's okay. No, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. All right.
Sam, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
All right.
Sam
Toya. Thank you.
Thank you for the Illinois Restaurant Association.
The part where he's right, I think, is definitely that if you knew that your server was getting minimum wage, I think that might impact behaviors in terms of tipping. Don't you think?
All right. Well, there's the restaurant side. Servers, 312.
Please let us know.
981-7200. You can text us or call us.
We're already hearing from somebody who says, you know, either it looks like they have personal experience with this where they tried to file one of those claims that he's talking about and says it's not as easy as you might think. You file a claim, 3 months later, you get a response to your claim. 6 months later, you have a hearing. 12 months later, you may get your missing $80. It isn't exactly as easy to reclaim that if it isn't quite right as you might think, according to this server who texted us on the text line from the 773.
All right.
As someone who has waited tables before, I was a waitress for a while, my frustration with that would also be, how many times have you seen a waitress go above and beyond compared to someone else? And if they're going to make less or just the same equal amount of money and not get as much money in tips because of how they're treating customers, that's frustrating. So some people can work a lot harder and it wouldn't make a difference, and some people can just slack off.
So in the server community, there's a hierarchy too. There are people who are better at it than others, is what you're saying. And if you're
right,
good at it and you're diligent about it, then you don't necessarily want somebody to take advantage of the system, because this ain't Moscow. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, because if you're just a personable person, you're going above and beyond to make sure that someone's experience is great, you would hope to get a bigger tip. And some people might not want to really leave a tip knowing that situation.
Got it. All right. To the servers we go at 312-981-7200 right after we find out from Kim what's coming up at the top of the hour for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Row Mayor Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle taking a small step to working together. We'll explain coming up.
All right, it's a Row Con Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Big story today in Chicago is that the city council is considering an ordinance that would raise the minimum wage for restaurant employees to the immediate $13 an hour on its way up to $15 an hour for servers who get the benefit of the tip wage right mm-hmm. now, which is the fact that they $6.40 an hour is what mm-hmm. they get paid, but then they get paid tips, and they are theoretically allowed to keep the tips. And so the Restaurant Association, we just heard from them, said, hey, no, this would be bad for everybody. They would end up making less money over the long run. There are some servers who quoted in the paper saying, listen, we want to have a guaranteed dollar amount, even though city ordinance requires them to have a guaranteed dollar amount, which is that they have to make the minimum wage if they haven't made it up in tips. And servers are like, hey, what are you people talking about? Pam is calling us on WGN 312-981-7200. Pam, go ahead.
I just wanted to speak out about servers in general, that I'm not a server, I'm the hostess, but I hear the servers talking at work, and it's just, you know, it's a shame that it has to be at minimum wage, which is so low right now, but I don't know that all these little restaurants can fly at $15 an hour. But a lot of customers, like I just said to the gentleman on the phone earlier, a lot of customers aren't even aware that what they're tipping has to be given out to other people, such as the bussers, the bartenders. So they think the person is getting all this wonderful money, and, you know, it's not always a wonderful tip to begin with, and then you have to split it three ways.
Right.
So it's a hard call for the service industry. I mean, people have no idea what it's like until you work in the restaurant business.
Right. It's a very popular, Pam, thanks very much, very popular concept mm-hmm. because, you read this, you're like, oh, my God, those SOBs, how dare they? The man, and he's got a knife, and he's got hot utensils. How dare he take advantage of these poor workers who are working day in and day out when actually that isn't the full extent of the story, right?
No.
Cheryl, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Hi, Ro.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hello there. Yes, same thing. I've been in the restaurant business for 42 years. Same story. It's a lot of people don't understand that we have to tip out to bussers. Some companies even tip out to the cooks. They put it towards the host, everyone. So it's not, so you give me a $5 tip doesn't mean I'm getting $5. It means I am now probably getting three out of that five. So by the time you're done, if you're looking at changing minimum wage in it, where I work, it's $4.85. Now you've got to try and kick me up. And if you're going to try and change all of that, I'm going to be making less money because I work my pretty little tushy off.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people that do not work as hard as me, and I get more compliments than anyone, even though I'm older than most servers, because I work to you met me once, Ro, and
did he tip well? Jim, did he tip well?
Was I a customer? Where did I meet you?
No, actually, you happened to see me at Sabatino's when they were closing. You were there for Judy's birthday or somebody's birthday.
Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, who could forget that night? Okay, don't make me play the tape of Anna playing the violin. That was really something.
I did grab the violin that night. But so is
that
it?
That was a fun night.
It was a super fun night, and the I would say all the servers there work very hard. We could tell because that was such a busy time, and it seemed like everybody was doing, going above and beyond. But let me ask you something: do you get to decide how much to tip out the busboys when someone gives you the $5 tip, the $10 tip? Do you get to decide how much goes to the other support staff, or is that on the restaurant management?
No, you don't. There are some places I've had to do a lot of my own busing, but yet I still have to tip out the required amount by that restaurant.
Yeah.
Some places it's 20% of, a lot of it is 20% off what your sales are. So say I sell $500 in sales that day, then I have to times that and I have to tip out $10 minimum.
And sometimes I will give extra to a busboy who's helped me out particularly.
Yeah.
So
right. So everybody, it is very, very much.
Not off how much I made, because sometimes you might have some tables that stiff you, mm-hmm. you know, don't leave
yeah.
you anything.
Right.
And then they don't care. They still, you know, because of the place I work, I would get a $100 check, but some of these people didn't know to tip, and they would leave me $5
right.
on a $100 bill.
Right. That's how it goes. So, Cheryl, thank you very much. We got to run, but thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for
thank
your fine
you.
Service okay. at Sabatino's. And God rest Sabatino's. And God bless America and all those guys at Sabatino's. I hope they bring it back, because I need more peach cobbler. I think America needs our peach cobbler. Rokan Joe with Anna DeBlantis, 720 WGN Chicago. We've got coming up on the program, I'll just share a few things with you. Our Bears insider Adam Hogue will be here after 4:40 to talk about the Bears landing in the District of Columbia, to have thoughts on playing a game with or without a kicker. We will find out if they do or do not have a kicker by 4:40 by the time Adam Hogue gets on with us today.
He'll know, and he'll know if it's Pinheiro or not.
Right. And if Elliot Fry bought his own Amtrak ticket or whatever it was to get to Washington.
Disguised as a beer vendor. Hey, guys, I'm up here in the stands.
Hey, oh, my God. What are you guys doing here? I was just picked up this job. Oh, it's great to see you.
I'm available.
Just in case. I'm right here, okay?
Oh, God. All right.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I'm praying for this to just come together. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we do have your best Bears coverage on all the radio. I know people are saying, well, what about the home of the Bears? What about that Bears coverage?
Whatever.
Yeah, well, they're co-opted by the fact that they can't really say the things that they really are feeling. This, on the other hand, when you get two former Bear champions into a room and they start going after it, it gets something.
You could properly vent like a Bears fan needs to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't let that build up. It's bad for your health.
No, it is bad. You're absolutely right. That's a great point, Lauren.
You know, on Fridays we have the bands come in and we can kind of feel the ground shaking at the radio station when they're warming up and getting ready for their set. That's kind of how it is when Hamp and OB lose it. You can feel the radio station shaking a little bit when those two get fired up after a loss.
Yes.
But it's not going to be a loss tonight. Tonight's a turning point for the Bears. They're going to be dominant, and it's going to be a huge win. I'm feeling it.
Yep.
With or without a kicker.
Okay. All right. That's coming
up. I just want to hear from Adam Hogue, just to put everything to rest. Is it going to be Pinheiro? Is that happening tonight?
And then Richard Roper will join us to talk about what happened at the Emmys last night. That's coming up at 5:00.
The hostless Emmys.
Yeah. It was weird. Because
it was a little weird.
There were some things, like Julia Louis-Dreyfus
mm-hmm.
got snubbed, and everybody's upset about that.
There was a few snubbings, let's be honest.
Hasn't she won a ton?
There were, like the Game of Thrones. I think it's because everybody got nominated.
No.
Game of Thrones got kind of skunked last night, except for Peter Dinklage.
Well, and the actual show, but still.
Yeah. So that's, wait till Lauren talk. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I was already venting about it on Twitter last night.
I know. Oh, yeah. It's a lookout. Look out, because when it starts to go, when you lose a Lapka, we learned
we're like the Tasmanian devil. It's just like this little tornado going around in circles.
Yeah, we learned that the hard way when we were out Friday night. We learned that the hard way. When things go, they go. Turns out when I go, I go. But there's a lot of going. All right. That's all coming your way. And then Hamp, OB, and Cos will be here to shake the thunder, to shake the studio, starting at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7, then our regular programming. And then after the Bears are over, Hamp, OB, and Cos come back.
Nice.
To either tell us how great everything is, and it's just fine.
Yep.
Although I've never heard that show after a win be, it's just fine.
No, I haven't either. But maybe well-deserved in most cases.
Yeah. Although I have to say that, you know, the Bears did just squeak past the Broncos. And the Broncos are kind of not great.
Well, the Broncos kicker doinked it, right? So people are wondering if it's a Vic Fangio problem and not a Bears problem.
Yeah, that gave me PTSD.
Didn't it? I was like, did you see that?
Yeah.
I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
What?
Stop it.
It wasn't
it was
a double.
A single doink, though.
Single doink.
Yeah. But I seriously, like, my stomach started to hurt after it. It was weird. Oh, God.
It was a flashback moment for many Bears fans.
Kim's happy about that.
When I saw it, though, I thought of you guys immediately.
Yeah. And so did the announcers.
And the Spanish announcers went right through my head.
Because it was the Green Bay game.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Green Bay really was.
Green and we're 3-0, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
Turns out the pretty good team this year.
Yeah.
Looking good, people.
And Minnesota looked good. Looked great yesterday.
Yep.
And Detroit looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So maybe Sports Illustrated isn't as dumb as we thought they were.
Well.
All right. I don't want
to. We'll see you tonight.
Okay. You're
big
right.
Game.
Hey, I like this. CTA has installed a passport photo booth at the Chicago Avenue Red Line Station. I'd like to talk to you about the Chicago Avenue Red Line Station for just a second.
Let's hear it.
This seems like the least needed item at the Chicago Avenue Red Line Street stop.
There are a few other priorities.
Wait, you mean like a photo booth style thing where you can get a passport photo?
Self-service kiosk has been tested at the CTA stop since May, and the manufacturer hopes to place more throughout Chicago and the U.S. DNP Imaging Com. I got this. DNP Imaging Com America. Let's work on this. You know what you need to work on here, sir? Let's work on the name first. The CTA says the Chicago stop is the only one with a photo booth. Really? Really? At the CTA? Okay. And referred all other inquiries to the company. CTA gets a portion of the revenues. I would love to. So people are obviously, the press is calling now. This is a Crane story. And clearly they're calling to say how many people are using are trying to get a passport at a CTA station. And if you're trying to get a passport at a CTA station, you have just committed a major crime. That is my guess.
Trying to get out of town.
Right. That you have, this is your idea. You're like, okay, I'm going to commit this crime. Oh my God, I forgot I need a passport. So I'm going to stop at the Chicago Avenue Red Line Station, which is, you know, considered to be one of the hot spots in downtown Chicago for police activity. Maybe the hot spot. It's like, it doesn't get any crazier than that.
I see it not being used for passport photos.
Yeah, right. What do they want from us? What kind of information are they looking to get here?
Well, I just think that
wonder.
You get through, let's say that you commit the crime, you do that, you get the passport, you get on the red line, you go south, and then you do that blue line thing out to O'Hare, you find a way to get to, you know, and then you have your passport and you're ready to go. I think it's in some ways, I understand the marketing of it. It's almost genius. If any of the criminals who are at the Chicago Avenue stop, which there's at least one at all times. It's like there's X number of police there, and there's at least one guy that the police are looking for. That there's a foot chase at almost every single train stop.
Well, you always see the dogs come through, right? They always have the dogs just sniffing things, and we're not sure what's going on there. And then you can always identify the one guy that's going to then walk through all of the train cars and say, anybody have any money? How's that go again, Rolf?
Hey! Let me sing a song! I like the guy who just wants to do that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's all he wants to do. I think he's trying to get a little something-something
right
on the side.
Right. Stands at the door, walks in the door, train door closes, and it's on its way to either Grand if you're going south or Division if you're going north, which that's a pleasant stop as well.
Division.
And you take that, and the guy's just, you know, I need money! I need money!
Me too.
Yeah.
Right.
I try
not to yell that out, even though I'm thinking that.
Right. Because
that would be bad.
You're standing there and you're just thinking, I have to avoid eye contact. That's your first most important thing is to not acknowledge. Then maybe it won't happen. Maybe this just goes away. Maybe the guy will realize, hey, I don't need money.
The first thing is to just make sure it looks like this is totally normal, that you're not acknowledging, right? That
right.
It's sort of just, okay.
Yeah. You know, act natural.
No big deal.
Very
whatever.
Important.
Just keep on doing what you're doing.
Turn to the lady seated there. Are you pregnant? Would you like
keep
to
one
see?
Of those buttons on?
Yeah.
I noticed just now.
What can I do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? I'm going to stand here right now. I'm going to act like we know each other so we can have a conversation. Because this guy over here is kind of scaring me.
It can get a little more threatening than that guy, the singing guy.
Yes.
I've seen that too.
Yes, it can. And then, but then you could turn to the guy. You know what's really interesting, sir? Did you realize that now at the Chicago Avenue stop, they have a passport service? What?
Poor tourists who've lost their passport will go there and try to think that this is a legitimate place to go and take a picture.
Are you a tourist who lost your passport? Just head on over to the Chicago Avenue stop.
It's almost
a perfect endorsement for the city.
Right. Yeah.
No need to go
Chicago.
To the embassy. No worries.
Right. It's almost as though this was thought up by like a gang of street thugs. Like, you know what would be funny? And we could put this in, like, you know, Wear magazine or whatever it's called. And people just, oh, my God, I need a, you know what I really need is I need a passport. I am from Sweden. I am lost. Where should I go? Chicago Avenue, L stop. Perfect.
It's not where we want them.
See, the real
actually, the subway stop. I know, there's an L stop at Chicago Avenue, too. Right. But the subway stop at Chicago.
Right, okay. Totally different.
Okay, Stan, we are going over to this now. We go down. It's going to be real nice. And then, you know.
It's not always exactly what you want people to
see. Make sure we have all American cash we have with us.
Aren't there enough Walgreens already? I mean, can't people go get them there? Right? That's what you do.
Yeah, there's a Walgreens under the car. There are far more Walgreens than there are L stops and subway stops in Chicago, right? Train stops. Tons more.
This wasn't needed.
No. There's a Walgreens across from a CVS, which is across from another Walgreens. They're sharing a parking lot. We do not need this. I'm sorry.
Seems extraneous and kind of weird. I just wonder what else it'll be used for. You know, a hidden booth
right.
where people are
right.
on a subway stop.
Dig a little deeper, see what
Let's
kind
think
of
about that.
People they have an agreement with.
The shenanigans that are going to go on in that photo booth.
Oh, gross. Okay.
You know, the camera. Oh, God. Why'd you have to make it
dirty? I didn't even make it dirty. I'm just saying.
The camera
like
is calibrated to allow for the proper capture of a wide range of skin tones, and the photo can be taken as many times as needed to get a compliant picture. What the hell is that supposed to mean? I don't understand what they're saying there.
To get
like the other camera can't tell what your skin tone is?
Right.
The cost is $10.99. For $5 more, digital pictures will be emailed. Sven, what is the email again? Meanwhile, Sven is standing there, literally being stripped naked by marauding muggers at that point. And sort of like, Sven, I need a $10.99. Oh, you got it now. Okay. Now, the machine also offers portraits if you're interested in
what?
That. Yeah, you can get a portrait.
Oh, you get a family portrait done. Kids?
A family
Stan,
portrait?
Come on in. We're going to take a head. We would do a headshot, but you're missing your head now.
Like for above the fireplace style portrait?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God. We have to go now. Can we get
everybody
one for the
get
show?
Ready. A family trip to the Chicago Avenue stop
oh,
for our yearly family portrait.
Oh my God!
This is just a bad idea. Right, this is so bad.
I would have. Are there some fine people from Arlington Heights? Do you think, Kevin?
No, I don't think so.
Let's go downtown. And, you know what, kids? We're going to go down on a family portrait. Now that Sears is closed, we're going to go down and we're going to actually get a family portrait in the Red Line station. Oh, we'll see the city the way it really is.
It'll be fun, kids.
Why does it smell bad down here?
What is that smell?
There's a lot of questions. You have to be prepared.
It smells
as a parent,
like the litter box, kind of. It is the smell of rubber, urine, and fear are the three things that you smell.
Sometimes rat poop is mixed in there.
Oh, yeah.
That's because you do see them. You do.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not lie.
Actually, a rat family might be taking a picture, like when you get there. Like all kind of arms around each other, portrait style. They figured it out.
What a weird thing to have on the platform.
Yeah. All right. So just... I don't see it, but okay. I don't always get all these things right.
I don't see it either.
Not a single person was thinking, we could really use a photo booth.
No,
Chicago
Avenue. Passport photo booth.
Passport. We could really use one of those.
I mean, a photo booth. They're everywhere now. Those photo booths that people like trundle into, and they give you a different background, and everybody sticks their tongue out, and you know makes a
and they're like $5, so you could actually make some money off of that. But this. Passport photos in the subway?
I honestly see some turf wars going on there of people trying to take over that booth. People that, you know, don't
have a place
to stay.
My booth now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Sounds dangerous.
I need a booth! All right. Let's now check with Kim. She's got the news at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
Roe Mayor Lightfoot's defending her plan for where pot shops will be located across the city. We'll have the latest coming up.
Tonight, the Chicago Bears, they're on WGN-TV. The reigning NFC North champs battle Washington. Bears, Redskins, Monday Night Football. It's on WGN-TV. Kickoff tonight at 7.
Woo-hoo!
Huge!
Adam Hogue's going to join us. He's got thoughts about that. Coming up after Kim's news. He's in Washington, the District of Columbia.
Good. Good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Our nation's capital is... Kevin likes to call it when he's out covering. I'm here in our nation's capital.
Well,
I don't know why that bugged you so much. I still don't get it.
We're here in our nation's capital. But you were covering baseball. That was the thing.
The hell does it matter?
That's not relevant in our nation's capital.
I mean, it's just a place.
Our nation's capital.
Honestly, some people don't know, Ro. So maybe Kevin's helping some people.
Many people don't know.
I guess that's possible. I didn't think about that. So anyway, they are in our. So Adam Hogue is in our nation's capital tonight, where the Bears are taking on the Redskins. Redskins kind of suck, so there's some hope that we're not going to have to worry about stuff. Because let's face it, we are worried. Are we not?
Yeah, this could be a turning point for the Bears, though. I feel it. I hope so.
I'm not that worried.
You're not worried. Good. I bet you Adam Hogue is not.
But you also weren't worried about the Green Bay game.
Are you on the Gummy Bears? All right. Kim Gordon's got the news, being brought to you by American Weathermakers. You know what that means?
We do. Big nights.
Big nights. Big night.
My friends.
Hey, Mary Pat, how many points will the Bears win by in Washington, our nation's capital, D.C.? My guess is...
18? Was that your guess?
Well, because we're not going to have a kicker. So the idea is you just go out and score touchdowns, and then you just go and kick off. You don't even kick off. You have the punter kick off, right?
That works.
Yeah.
That's just fine. Go for two every time.
But our offense hasn't been tremendously good so far at scoring touchdowns.
Been
Isn't
horrendous
that part of the problem?
Scoring touchdowns. One of the worst offenses in the NFL.
They have one, don't they?
They've already played two games, right? It seems like they should have played more by now.
It does.
Yeah.
But they've played two games. And what's their record, Kevin?
They are 1-1.
1-1. Mm-hmm. And in those two games, in the first game, Kevin, against the Green Bay Packers,
yes.
How many touchdowns did they score in
that
game?
Big old goose egg, row zero.
Zero.
None.
Okay.
None in that
now,
one.
Now,
so
in
that's
the
one game, none. Okay.
Second game that they won in the last second, how many touchdowns did they score in that game?
That'd be just one.
One. One
okay.
touchdown.
They got one. Number.
One touchdown. Right. So then if you add the first game total to the second game total, that would give you what number?
That'd be a big old one.
One. One. Right.
One okay. touchdown.
All right. And how many field goals did they have in that game?
In week two?
Yeah.
Three.
Three. Right. And they had one in week one. Right?
They had one in week one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought they had two in week one.
No, just one.
Just one.
Just one. Okay. Okay, we've done the math now for you, Adam Hogue. I'd like you to tell us what's happening on the field. You're on the field right now, right, at the stadium in Washington?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for doing the math for me. Not my strong suit. I am down here on the field. I've been looking for the kicker, Eddie Pinheiro. I have not seen him yet down here. But look, if there was any big major concern, they would have signed somebody else to come in and kick for them tonight. So I think the biggest thing I'd be worried about is if there's any kind of setback or anything like that, then it will be up to Pat O'Donnell. And in that case, I would expect Matt Nagy to go for two after touchdowns, assuming they can get one tonight. Hopefully more than one.
That would double their season. Complete
total, right?
Efficiency, yes. All right.
You know that Daniel Jones has already thrown for more yards than Mitchell Trubisky this year. He's played in one game. I mean, look, this is a matchup tonight that they need to find a way to move the football. I don't really care how it's done, but Mitch has had a tough time in primetime games. I think we all know that. I also think, though, this is the worst opponent he's played in any of his primetime games in his career. So this is a matchup that they should be able to exploit offensively.
Eddie Pinheiro, I know we're looking ahead here, but do we know how he got hurt in the weight room Friday?
I mean, not exactly. No, we don't get access to the weight room. And you know, look, if it was any kind of freak thing where, like, a dumbbell fell on his knee or anything, or something like that, they wouldn't tell us.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get some clarity. I don't know, but I think it's good that it's obviously not serious. I thought Matt Nagy's response on Saturday when he was asked about it made it seem pretty clear that they weren't too worried about it. But what a terrible, you know, here we are. They finally seemingly found a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of his victory lap all week at Hallis Hall. And then of all places, he gets hurt in the weight room. What a Bears thing to have happen.
Seriously.
It does feel Bearsy.
How often do you hear about someone getting injured in the weight room? Is that?
It's like an offensive lineman tearing a pec, okay, right? You know, bench pressing. Like, that's really, and that doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes you do hear stuff like that. But to have a kicker just, like, hurt his knee? It's very odd.
Weird.
The rest of the injury report, Trey Burton, who feels like he's going to be on the injury report all season, Kyle Long, Eddie Jackson, all questionable as well. What do you got there?
Yeah, I think everybody should be good to go. Bumps and bruises of the regular season. Eddie Jackson clearly hurt his shoulder in the middle of that game. I remember tweeting last week in Denver that he was getting looked at, but he didn't miss a snap, came right back in, and actually played very, very well, made some big tackles in that game. So I'm not really worried about any of those guys. I don't think there's any issues there.
As you're standing on the field, do you see any of these guys?
I don't. That's why I'm down here, guys, and I've been looking for them. You know, I see Cody Whitehair out right now. That's not necessarily a negative.
Yeah,
I know. What are we? We're still 2.5 hours or so from kickoff. So I mean, these guys are usually just barely getting out at the field at this time. So just because I don't see them now doesn't mean that they're not playing.
Look, if there's a game for this offense to get going, it's this one. The Redskins 30th in yards allowed. They're dead last in third down percentage, 31st in yards per game. I know it's a small sample size, just two games, but what should we expect to see from Nagy's play calling to get this thing going? Do you think they're going to make, I don't know, major changes to this offense? What can we expect to see tonight?
So you know what's interesting about the Redskins so far is they actually haven't allowed any points in the first quarter. In fact, not even till well into the second quarter, both their last two games, their opponents did not score until midway through the second quarter. And then from that point on, all they did was score. And it's like the floodgates opened up in both games, and they couldn't stop either the Eagles or the Cowboys in either of those games. So I don't know if there's really a reason for that. Usually that means that they're doing something right early, and then the other team is adjusting, and then they can't adjust back. That's usually what I would point to in that type of situation when you see the scoring fluctuate that much. So I don't know if it's going to start slow tonight for the Bears or not, but some type of adjustment needs to be made. One thing I would love to see, and this will probably make OB happy, how about some old-school play action? I mean, help your quarterback out that way. I would love to see the Bears come out and establish the run like they did last week. Even if they're not having a ton of success, commit to it like Matt Nagy did. And then throw a little old-school play action in there, take a deep shot, something like that to open up this offense. Because right now, everything's being played between 10 and 15 yards. And if you can't beat them deep in those type of situations, then you're just making life even harder for your quarterback who has been struggling to throw the deep ball in his young career.
And don't you get him outside a little bit, too? Don't you take him out of the pocket? He was much more effective, I thought, last year, and especially in his rookie year when they were making a move, because he's like one of those guys, I think he just throws better when he's moving.
So, I obviously no disagreement there, Ro. I think the problem is other defensive coordinators in the NFL also agree with you. And so I thought that's one of the things the Packers did especially well in week one was make sure that Mitch didn't get to the outside. They really tried to contain him in the pocket because he's clearly less comfortable behind his offensive lineman than when he's able to run out to the outside and make plays with his feet and throw on the run, which he apparently likes to do. So, again, as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach and Matt Nagy, you got to make some type of adjustment, some kind of misdirection, play action, whatever, to make sure your quarterback's comfortable. And I think that's all part of what they're trying to figure out on offense right now.
There was one minor roster move today, Adam. The Bears waived tight end Bradley Soule and signed defensive tackle Abdullah Anderson. Anything noteworthy from there? And Soule was a swing tackle. They moved him to tight end this year. Obviously didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the bottom of your tight end depth chart, but it is interesting because there's a guy named J.P. Holtz that they signed a couple weeks ago off of Washington's practice squad when he got when he got waived, the Bears picked him up, and you know, he hasn't. We haven't seen him. He didn't play last week, but obviously Bradley Saul fell behind him. And Bradley Saul was a guy who, as you just said, was he played last year. He made that big catch on Santa Slay, remember, against the Rams, I believe. And so for him, basically what this means, guys, in short, is that the tight end experiment did not work out for him. I thought it was pretty telling last week when they brought Ted Larson, who's a reserve offensive lineman, out there in jumbo packages as an extra blocker. When that happened, I'm like, wait a minute, isn't this the whole point you have Bradley Saul? To put him in these spots as a guy who can also be a threat to catch the ball. So if he wasn't even playing in those situations, I got kind of worried for him, and sure enough, they made that move today. And the reason they added the defensive lineman is because Bilal Nichols is out tonight. And that is noteworthy because he is a really good second-year player who's ascending right now, but he broke his hand last week in Denver.
All right.
Your podcast partner, Adam Johns, just tweeting out that Pinheiro was on the field for his usual pregame routine. He just saw him warming up.
Okay, well,
what are you looking at? What's going on?
I was doing a television hit, so maybe he was out here during that. But that's good to hear. Again, yeah, I'm not too worried about the only thing I'm worried about with the kicker tonight is if there's any kind of setback, whatever, during the game. But, right now they don't seem too concerned.
What's the weather situation out there?
You know, it's hot. I'm surprised. It got up in the 90s here in D.C. today. Unfortunately, it's a night game, so it's not like you're going to be dealing with the sun and extreme heat. So I'm sure it'll be fine by kickoff, but it is kind of humid, so maybe that is a factor. But both teams will be dealing with equal conditions.
Adam, are you seeing a lot of Bears fans, a lot of Bears jerseys out there? Made the trip out?
This is something I did not know until this week. I don't know how I missed this, but a few people from Washington, D.C. have told me that they have kind of a problem filling the stadium. And that the fans have been so upset with ownership and where the stadium is located, it's hard to get to, that sometimes they do have issues keeping this place full. And given the amount of transplants in D.C., the amount of people from Chicago who live here or can get here so easily, they are expecting a lot of Bears fans here today.
Nice.
At this point, the Bears have been traveling to every single game, but this one could be – I even had some locals tell me, like, this could be 50-50 tonight, if not more in favor of the Bears.
Hey, look out for Eddie Goldman tonight, local Washington boy. He grew up just a couple miles from the stadium. He's active. Wouldn't be surprised if he tries to put on a show for some friends and family. I'm sure he'll have in attendance.
Nice.
Yeah, his high school is only 5 miles from here. And he's a little bit of a high school legend in these parts, so I'm sure he's got – the Bears haven't played here in 6 years, guys, which is the maximum amount of time you can go playing an NFC team. So it's been a while since they've been out here. Another reason why I know a lot of people expect a lot of Bears fans to come out to this game if they live in this area.
FedEx Field wasn't – they weren't even playing at FedEx Field 6 years ago, were they? Wasn't it
the old RFK? It's older than that. It's surprising as I'm standing here right now looking at this thing. It looks way older than it should, and I don't have it in front of me what year it was built. It's probably been around 15 years now or something like that. But it's the problem, apparently, is it's just built so far outside the city, and there's really no public transportation. You got to walk a mile from the metro station. It's just not convenient in any way. Like, Soldier Field isn't the most convenient place, but at least it's downtown.
Right. It's kind of, this thing is halfway between our nation's capital, Washington D.C., and Baltimore. I mean, this thing is not. If you've ever stayed in our nation's capital and then had to get to Baltimore and take your flight out, it's like forever and ever and ever to get to Baltimore. But you get the cheaper flight.
The Bears actually flew in and out of Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean it's not. Yeah. I think in terms of air miles, it's about equidistant. I don't know on the roads what it's like, but it's not close. It's actually not in our nation's capital. So I would be lying if I said that.
Opened in 1997, renovated in 2011 and 2012. But it always did have that feel. I think you're right, Adam. When you watch a Redskins game, it just looks like an old stadium. I just always had an old feel to it.
Bro, I thought you were going to say it was halfway between the Capitol and Chicago, because it kind of feels like that. But Baltimore makes a little more sense.
Right. But, this is – you're in Maryland, right? And you're not even in the Virginia side. Yeah. You're in the Maryland side. Yeah.
Yeah, Landover, Maryland.
Landover, Maryland.
That's
right.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, we wish Eddie Pinheiro the very, very, very best.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Adam.
And Mitch Trubisky, because for his sake, he needs to have a good game.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, but they don't really have a better option, though. I mean, I don't think Chase Daniel's going to be the guy they're going to go, you know what, it's Chase time. I don't think so.
No. Guys, the solution at quarterback is a better Mitch Trubisky. That's the only solution. There's no other solution on this roster. It is a better Mitch Trubisky. That's the only option.
All right. And you can see Adam Hoke tonight on WGN TV, right? You're going to be doing on the field for them as well. And which the game is on WGN TV tonight, Channel 9. Don't forget that. And we, before and after the game, Hamp, OB, and Kaz are going to be with you as well right here on WGN Radio. So don't miss any of that. All right, Adam, have fun out there, I hope.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Adam.
All right. Now I find this to be of great import. What's coming up at the top of the hour in Kim Gordon's news?
Ro, we're following some breaking news. Several people in Chicago have been arrested by ICE agents. We'll bring you the latest coming up.
An accident out on the Stevenson is blocking the left lane at Kedzie. There's also an accident on I-80 East on the left shoulder at Richards. And traffic is picking up on the Eisenhower as well as the Stevenson. I'll have travel times at the top of the hour. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic's Chicago app. Approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Lauren Lapka from the IDOT Traffic Center, reminding you to drive responsibly. It really is a matter of life or death.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want, and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and autopay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Small business owners sometimes go broke. My first business startup in the 80s was a fledgling startup story. Credit cards were maxed, car had bald tires, house had broken windows, and my employees got paid before I did. But my diet of hot dogs and mac and cheese was to die for. Hi, I'm Mike Kappel, founder and CEO of Patriot Software. My business startup was messy. Actually, I was broke. My wife and I lived on fumes for 4 years. To escape our financial reality, we played board games and dreamt of someday owning our own Boardwalk and Park Place. That's why I created my fifth successful company, Patriot Software, to help small business owners do their payroll without going broke. And if you need help, we will help you for free. Go to PatriotSoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
When it comes to car repairs, are you a do-it-yourselfer? Apple Chevrolet has everything you need, from wipers to headlights to brake pads to belts to hoses. Certified service experts at Apple Chevrolet will take care of all your car parts and accessories. Just go to the Parts and Accessories tab at AppleChevy.com. It's just that simple. You can order your part online, and Apple Chevy will ship it to your door. And because Apple Chevy's service department buys in bulk, they pass that savings along to you. And right now, all you got to do is use the promo code LD19, L/D, as in Larry David. I don't think that's what it stands for, but you know what I mean. 19 at checkout for a 10% savings. So if you bought your vehicle there or not, shop Apple Chevrolet online at AppleChevy.com. For all your parts and all your accessories, you're going to find parts for your Buick, your GM, your Cadillac, your Chevy, your Hummer, even the older models, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, and Saturns. You're going to love doing business with them. That's why Time Magazine named them the National Dealer of the Year. Apple Chevrolet, 8585 West, 159th Street in Tinley Park, or AppleChevy.com. Find new roads.
Speaking of Larry David, Bernie Sanders is going to be in Chicago tomorrow. He'll be active with the striking workers, the nurses, and teachers, potentially.
That's right. I am going to be here because, first of all, I have to get my prostate checked.
I think he said he's coming for union disputes to back them.
But I know that the nurses might be available for the checking of other sorts of medical issues, of which I have many.
Uh-huh.
You do. My guess is with Bernie Sanders is mm-hmm. that if you're behind him at the baseball game, at the urinal, it's going to be a long wait.
Oh.
Because you're in the lines and you're in that line, and there's always one guy that takes forever. And that would be.
That might be
hold
Bernie.
Hold on, please. Stop rushing. Stop rushing.
He'll be here, and maybe you want to be nowhere near him during the bathroom break, but he is going to be spending some time in the Chicago area. Beto O'Rourke made a surprise appearance last night in the West Loop. He was at the Haymarket Pub. You know, we regularly feature their amazing talent here on Live Music Fridays. A lot of people.
Was he performing?
He was not.
What was going on?
No, he was showing up there because he was in town maybe for a fundraiser and also to have a discussion about gun rights. So he was part of that whole thing. He decided to grab a beer at Haymarket.
Blank you. I'll be blanking dead in a grave until we get rid of those blanking guns. Blank you all.
He does like to use
he likes to swear.
Certain word.
Yeah,
he swears.
He likes to swear.
He leans on the swears.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Times of emphasis.
I, for one, do not find that endearing. I believe that we should leave all the profanity to the side while I am getting my prostate checked.
Except for ask first graders about what they know about cocaine.
it's a separate issue for those of you who remember Bernie teaches you how to be a junkie or whatever that thing was from PBS mm-hmm. back in the 1970s.
Right. What is endearing is Bernie Sanders was asked about where he got his suit, and he said he was a Kohl's suit. He had a nice Kohl's suit, and everybody was applauding him for wearing Kohl's.
Oh, you're just like us.
That's right.
That, by the way, I wanted to make sure that there wasn't any confusion between the word coal and coals. My pronunciation isn't so great.
I don't think Bernie's got a chance anymore. I think that's pretty much. I think that ship has sailed.
He's still third place in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
As he's moving up slightly as Biden is moving down slightly. So
yes, Biden's not having a great week.
Not a great week for him.
No.
Warren, very good week for her.
Yes.
She's trending up again.
By the way, I don't know if anybody has noticed, she is very tall. She's a large drink of water.
He did not say. But he is wearing Kohl's.
That's the kind of thing that that old people do like to say. That is one tall drink of water.
All right. We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. One hour from now, Hamp, OB, and Kaz will take to this radio station, and they will literally set your hair on fire. And maybe your car. So be careful. Because they get very
dangerous.
Angry. They get hot. Don't get hot. They get hot. They're hot. Eddie Pinheiro, we're told, though, has taken the field in Washington.
Phew.
Actually, Landover, Maryland. I don't want to confuse anybody. For the big game tonight, he has gone through his pregame warm-ups, or the first part of the pregame warm-ups, right? And they go out like a couple hours in advance, right? And they just stretch and they do.
Stretch, get some kicks, depending on your position, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they come in later, once they're in their full uniform, because they come out in their sweat stuff in mm-hmm. this, right, or T-shirts. And then later they will be doing in uniform, and that's when they take kicks from all kinds of positions. That'll be interesting to see if he does that.
Does he have a brace on or anything? Have you seen any visuals, Kevin?
No, everything I've seen pictures of him and everything just looks like his regular before game routine.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so I think that's a good sign.
Very good sign. Excellent.
All right. Okay. Our own Jared Payton is on the field right now. Lauren Majera is with him. She's not our own.
Why is she not our own?
I don't know. I never hear her on the station. Oh, hey, Jared, all the time. I don't know what's going on there.
Well,
we're all
let's
part of the same family.
Yes, okay. And then we also have our own Adam Hoag is going to be on the field for them tonight. Isn't that correct?
Mm. That is correct.
All right. So there you go. It's very, very exciting. You know what it's time for now, don't you?
I do.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Three.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
So, police have announced the charges against the man accused of shooting and seriously wounding a Chicago police officer on the South Side, as well as a woman on the Near West Side and the Fulton Market District or whatever.
Yeah, the River District River on District. Milwaukee, 200 North Milwaukee.
All right. And that is, his name is Michael Blackman. He's 45 years old. He's facing five counts of attempted murder for several incidents, including all the ones we just described. This is Chicago Police Deputy Chief Brendan Denehan talking about the possible motive.
The best motive we could come up with, and this isn't, once again, there's a little speculation here, is he works for Jimmy John's as the delivery person down there, and he delivers to her building several times. Her building has very tight security, and he has problems with the security officers every time he goes to deliver his Jimmy John's there. You have to show an ID at this building. He refuses to show an ID every single time he delivers there, and then it's a little, verbal confrontations with the security in the building where they won't let him up to deliver the sandwiches without an ID, and then he's asking security to call the people who order the sandwiches, but he doesn't have a phone. Basically, he's security always had a problem with him at this building. So that's the best possible motive at this time, but that's speculation. So then it appears that he's in the area on his bike, and you see these individuals leave that building, and then he chooses to randomly shoot this girl. He didn't have any confrontations with her. It's confrontations with security. But once again, like I said, only he possesses the answer, but he did have problems with that building when he was a delivery driver for Jimmy John's before he got fired.
We've all been wondering about that. What was this all about?
What was it all about? Because it appeared that he was on his bike and went right up to that woman and shot her. And now it appears from what police are surmising at this moment that she just happened to be exiting that building where he was given trouble on a number of occasions for not showing his ID. My God.
Funny, he does not have a cell phone, but he has a gun.
Yeah. Maybe there are reasons he didn't want to show his ID. I mean, let's be honest.
Yes.
Gee. Thankfully, the police officer is going to be okay, who was shot later, in the apprehension of Michael Blackman.
He doesn't have life. He doesn't have life-threatening injuries.
Right.
It's hard to tell. I mean, he was shot multiple times in the groin. So, but that's how tough this is. And that, the bulletproof vest is not covering you there. Right? You just gotta...
Didn't it also hit, the largest nerve in the leg? So, a lot of blood loss.
Yeah. So he's right. That's the biggest issue is in that area because that's
needing to repair that is not easy. No,
right. And he's already, I think he's had multiple surgeries. And of course, this woman is also recovering, right?
Absolutely.
So it's just
it's a long road ahead for both of them.
It is. Checking in at
number four,
Mayor Lightfoot will deliver her first budget address and outline the taxes she plans to raise. Remember, we thought she was going to do this a couple of weeks ago. But then we got a little sideways on that.
It was a get ready for the budget address.
Right. Turns out, not a budget address. So.
I'm not sure we're ready for the budget address.
No, I don't think we are.
We maybe even need one more address.
Yes. Why don't you, could you keep it from us? That would really be helpful. Now, this is Alderman Beal predicting that the mayor would come up empty in Springfield if she's asking for a property tax increase. Because it was doubled under Rahm Emanuel. He sat down with Sun-Times' Fran Spielman and was asked, how much will property taxes increase under worst-case scenario?
What I see, and again, I'm just speculating because, we don't have a budget yet. We don't know what the data stated. But I'm thinking between maybe $400 to $500 million.
Really?
Yeah.
What'll happen? And could she get the votes for that?
Well, we'll see.
You don't think so. You're smiling. I see you smiling.
We'll see.
You're like a Cheshire cat.
Well, it's going to be tough. Let me just say that.
$838 million budget deficit or shortfall there that she needs to fill. So tonight, or that budget address should be interesting.
Although we don't have a date for a budget address, right?
Is there no date yet?
No, we do not. We've announced there's one coming. And we thought it was going to be the end of this month. Now we're being told it's October. And let's just keep going. November. December, December's
what
bad.
What do today we can't what do, you can put off until tomorrow?
Imagine all of the different machinations on this thing. Like, maybe we should do it in November. Oh, no, there's Thanksgiving. We don't want to ruin anybody's Thanksgiving.
Can't
that could
do
be a
that.
Problem.
No.
What about, December's,
December's
Christmas.
Busy. Very busy holidays.
Parties. Yeah, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. January. No one's around in January.
Well, delivering on a stone-cold February day might be the way to do it.
Not bad. You know why? Because you got Valentine's Day. There are people in a romantic mood.
It's true.
March, people are too drunk. Jeez. I don't know. All right, checking in. Did I do the number four yet? Have I done
no.
that? No. All right.
Number four.
Well, that was number four.
Oh, I mean, I've already done that. Yes.
Yeah, so we did.
But wait, there's more. Let me do this. There's more. This is number four and a half. I wish we could just get oriented to do that. He also says, the alderman also says, that he's not the only one frustrated with the mayor.
I talked to all of my colleagues in passing, and everybody is frustrated. Everybody is frustrated, but are they speaking up? No, they're not. But yes, I do believe that people are really getting frustrated on how this, how the city is being governed right now, because nobody downtown knows my community like me. Nobody knows our communities like the alderman. And to dismiss that is wrong. So, we have to fight for our voice. And that's what I'm fighting for. I'm not fighting against the mayor. I'm fighting for our voice in city government because our people elected me to have that voice, and nobody's going to minimize it.
Okay.
By the way, the mayor tweeted just within the last hour, next budget town hall, Wednesday, September 25th at Lindblom Math and Science Academy.
But that's a town hall.
She's still asking citizens to explain to her how you'd like to see things shake out. What should increase? What should decrease?
I love when they ask the citizens this, because most of the people who show up and talk at those things are activist types, that have already been, they're there for a specific thing. They're a single issue type person.
Mm-hmm.
This is we need to save the woolly worm. And so I'm sorry, but there isn't, I noticed, Your Honor, in the budget, there is no saving of the woolly worm budget line. And so you get all kinds of strange people who walk into those things with all of their paperwork in a jewel bag.
And they're
gonna
just go
through
it. And they're the ones who always talk after they've cut off their microphone.
Right.
Your time's up.
Yeah. I don't know that you get what you want out of that. I don't think these town halls, like, if you notice all the ones that CNN does with the candidates, and it's people reading off 3x5 cards. Right, it's like I don't know. I don't think that's really the democracy. I think she should take Facebook Live questions and see what happens. Or she could come on a radio show. We could take phone calls. There's something
great idea
that she hasn't done since she won. Although she was here a record number of times before she won. I think one time more than any other candidate.
And she was here a lot.
Yeah, she could come back. That's all I'm saying. Feeling a little used. We'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1, but first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, the leaders of several European countries now say Iran was responsible for the attack on the Saudi oil fields. We'll have more coming up.
Then there's this tonight, the Chicago Bears. They're on WGN-TV. The reigning NFC North champs battle Washington. It's Bears-Redskins. Monday night, football is on WGN-TV. It's kickoff. It is tonight at 7 o'clock. In case you were wondering.
Top 5 of 5 continues.
Number 3.
Dennis Rodman thinks Antonio Brown is a PI nightmare and he is involved in self-sabotage.
Oh.
Dennis Rodman!
Something he's familiar with.
Well, he's not wrong, but coming from him.
Dennis Rodman thinks Antonio Brown is a mess.
That's something when that happens.
Focus. So that's one thing about Antonio Brown, he wasn't focusing enough about his career. Okay, you know what? How about this?
Right.
The school of how to ruin your career, one-on-one, do that. Brown. Do what he did.
Do what he did. He outsmarted himself.
That's Dennis Rodman talking to TMZ. Even TMZ couldn't believe it.
Antonio Brown announced he's re-enrolling at Central Michigan. That was this afternoon's news from Antonio Brown, his next step. Not going to go back to the NFL. He's going to back to school. He can't play for the team, right? We've decided.
No, once you take your pro deal,
you're done with that.
Yeah, he's been taking online courses at Central Michigan University.
Did someone tell him that maybe that's what was going on? Does he have money left over, I wonder?
I'm sure he's got plenty of money.
Yeah, really?
Antonio Brown?
Yeah. I mean,
how much money he's made in his career?
I know, but somehow there's you still find people who, you know, the Hollywood math kicks in, and the next thing you know, it's the true. Guy's like, you know, I got nothing. And plus, they're coming after him for all that dough.
Yeah, he's going to be in all sorts of lawsuits with both the Patriots and Raiders about guaranteed money.
Yep. Didn't he lose $30 million primarily because he wouldn't wear the helmet?
The helmet and...
his feet were cryogenically damaged.
Frozen.
Yeah.
And then there was chapter two with the women coming forward. But at first, it was really just
Kevin, could you
the helmet.
Kevin, could you assess his run for me?
He had a good run.
Okay. Thank you.
Number two.
It's the poop heard round the world. Video showing a pigeon relieving itself on an Illinois state representative.
It's so funny.
Jaime Andrade.
Poor Jaime, but it was really funny.
Was at the Irving Park Blue Line station, and, well, this happened.
Hopefully, did I just get?
There's something in there.
I did. I just have to go clean it up. And that's what happens to my constituents. They get shit on all the time.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
He's trying to talk about the poop problem with the pigeons, and he gets pooped on in his hair. Ew. That's the worst feeling.
CBS 2's Lauren Victory. Really? Met with the state rep to talk about his newfound fame.
Did you ever think that a pigeon would get you name recognition?
Not that much. No, not at this level. Farthest place I've heard so far is Spain. Our constituents don't care. All they want is they want the situation solved. This story has brought it to attention all the way to the top. So that I know.
That guy's got the perfect Chicago accent.
Totally. Great representation there.
Super focused, apparently.
Yeah.
Mary Pitt, where is the worst L stop to get pooped on by a pigeon?
Right there, turns out. Irving Park.
Oh, God. Here we go, finally.
Number one.
Woman had a freak and potentially dangerous encounter with a camel. This is in a field near a busy truck stop. Camel goes by the name Casper. He lives in the Tiger truck stop in Gros Tête, Louisiana. Now, Gros Tête roughly challenges Big Head, Louisiana. Roughly translated, I should say. And challenged, for that matter. Mm-hmm. Authorities said a woman was chasing after her loose dog when she was attacked by the camel. But the truck stop manager says the camel was the victim.
Oh.
Pamela Bossier told reporters the owner of the dog and another man were throwing treats at the camel's enclosure, leading the dog to run inside.
What happened was kind of really crazy. They was pushing on the camel and pushing them and pushing them, swatting them with the hat and stuff like that. And camels naturally are going to sat down. Well, when he sat down, she was underneath him.
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, boy.
She got sat on by a camel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Then the woman, not identified for this story, did the unthinkable to free herself.
Oh, I might feel kind of funny saying this on TV, but she actually bit him in his private area. That's about as nice as I could put it. I was shocked.
What?
Because we've had animals for 30 years and never one incident.
Are we sure this isn't in Florida? What?
Oh, wait, Louisiana?
It does seem like a News or Ruse headline.
What?
In Big Head, Louisiana? Actually, the French side of Big Head. There's Big Head and Gros Tête right next to each other.
Well, I'm sorry for her if it's in Big Head, Louisiana.
I really pray to God there's not a Gros Tête High School. Because you're like, what's the mascot? What are the other kids at the rival schools call it? It's bad. The whole thing is bad.
Really ugly. Yeah, that wouldn't help anybody.
Right, and now you got a woman biting a camel and it's privates. It's the whole thing.
Has anyone seen a truck stop with a camel in an enclosure? Just
yeah,
to start
why
there.
Does that seem normal to them?
I think that that's possible. That's yes. I mean, have you ever driven through places in the
Louisiana?
South?
Yeah,
I
have.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen like llamas, but not a camel.
Makeshift petting zoo.
It's also an albino camel.
What does that matter?
I don't know. But that's the crazy thing about it. Maybe they treat it better down there. I don't know. But it is, it is a...
Does it have any humps? Are we sure it's not just a horse?
Oh, I guess that we don't know the end of the story. I'm guessing that the camel got up and left.
Is the camel okay?
Yeah.
Great question. Thanks for wondering.
Uncle Lair. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Poor and now camel. She did get a ticket, though, but not for biting the camel and the privates. She got a ticket because she was walking her dog without a leash. There you go. Now, what we have
what
here, ma'am.
Just happened.
It's right. Just the sheriff, like, spitting tobacco while he's talking to her. Now, ma'am, you all have to understand what we have here is you unattending your dog. That's why this camel sat on you. We are also charging the camel with unruly conduct.
Oh, gosh. Poor camel.
And making a general scene. It's over.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's news brought to you by AppleChevy.com. It's 5:30. Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
Richard Roper is in the studio. Emmys were last night.
Terrible ratings, first of all. Record low viewership. 30% drop from the year before.
I know why.
Okay.
A.
Have at it.
There was Sunday Night Football, which there always is against the Emmys now.
Guess so. Yeah.
And B. Two, hostless. They didn't do a lot of publicity for it. Fox wasn't really pushing it the way that and where, you know, if you look at the Fox catalog of things in those weeks where you run up, the 2 weeks run up, they're just pushing their football product, essentially.
Yeah. They alternate from year to year. Fox, CBS, NBC, ABC getting the Emmys. And Fox is not particularly strong in the Emmys these years. So, you know, they're sort of like, well, yeah, here we are. We're going to give a platform to all the great content you can get on the streaming platforms, on the other networks, on premium cable. And the hostless thing, it worked for the Academy Awards. The ratings were up like 30% for the Oscars, but they have like 3.5 times the viewership of the Emmys. The Emmys are still ahead of the Tonys, which still
get
the same people who actually go to the plays. You know,
right.
Tonys always get about 5 million. The Grammys do really well. They're second usually to the Oscars.
The Grammys.
They made it into a beautiful production.
Exactly.
They
it's a musical
smart.
That goes on forever. It's not about
it's the best concert ever.
It used
it
to
really
be
is,
the best Tejano Polka Award goes to.
Yeah.
It was like there's like 26 categories, and they'd run through all of them in the show. And now they finally figured out they do a couple big ones, and all the rest are just performances.
Yeah, because that's always been weird, because like best original song goes to a songwriter, but then best song goes to the performer and album. The categories in the Grammys are kind of tough to keep up with. But as you said, they've turned it into great television. They've done the best they could. So now for the Emmys last night, they decided, okay, no host. Mm-hmm. And then they thought, at the beginning, we got this, you know, kind of a fun thing with Bob Newhart. And then Bryan Cranston gave one of those speeches that usually get at the SAG Awards, where they talk about how the acting is more important than, you know, microsurgery on, you know, to save the nation or anything like that. Anybody, you know, he talked about how it's the golden age of television. Of course, Bryan Cranston is one of the leading, you know, carriers of that, having
that
breaking bread and everything.
Absolutely true.
But then they undercut their whole message by having a snarky voiceover guy making fun of television and the shows throughout the proceedings.
Such an odd choice, that
so
whole thing.
It was so weird. So like Chernobyl, which is, you know, this brilliant HBO limited series about, you know, the horrific tragedy at Chernobyl, and just amazingly acted and just a great piece of work. It wins in a category, and the voiceover guy like is making fun of it, like saying like,
"How do you make fun of Chernobyl?"
He's like, "Oh, great vacation spot even today." You know, he's like literally making fun of it. So we actually have a medley of
he
this
said
guy
in front of a live studio audience.
Yes,
that was kind of funny.
Do you make fun of Chernobyl?
What does that mean?
Though?
Who
is that
really
a weird
would believe that?
I think
at the
Emmys. I think Thomas Lennon, by the way, is the actor. He's a funny guy. He's been on a bunch of shows. You could actually see halfway through, because they'd show him occasionally, that he was thinking, "I should not have taken this gig." He realized this was a bad idea. I think if it's like, remember Mystery Science Theater 3000, where the guys would be like comment on the B movies,
right?
Like, you know, if someone was doing this like on a podcast that you could listen to during the Emmys, it would be funny.
Yes,
you know, kind of cracking wise on it. But it's like, it'd be like saying, I'm going to do a stand-up comedy routine, and I'm going to hire some hecklers to sit in the front row. So here's a medley of this voiceover guy during the Emmys.
I'm Thomas Lennon, your Sherpa through the lulls. Tonight, $14.99 a month. HBO battles $12.99 a month. Netflix. It's the Emmys, but it's also Fox. So, yeah. The producers have asked me to give a special shout-out to any of our previous lead actress winners who are watching tonight from prison. Hopefully those 2 weeks are going to fly right by. Keep your chin up. Stick around to see if history is made with the first female or black winner for Variety Talk. Are the Emmys woke? Or is that just something that was... This is why people don't do this, because it sucks. Succession is loosely based on the Murdoch family. The same Murdoch family that has ordered me to sit here at this microphone and tell jokes. And it's a real pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure, and I want to thank them every day of my life, and I hope my family's okay.
So I think he was reading that one joke where it was going to make fun of woke or Me Too, or mm-hmm. when he talked about the first black, and I think he stopped himself and said, I'm not reading that joke. Like, live on television. I don't think that was a bit where he was being, like, meta, like, oh, this is terrible. I think he really thought, oh, no, what am I doing here? So that was a disaster, I thought.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, I liked when the whole Game of Thrones cast came out. That was pretty cool, to get kind of do a curtain call.
Right.
And that Banana Brianna from Tarkin,
yes,
or whatever.
Yes, love her.
Got the biggest ovation.
Brianna Tarth. Love her.
Exactly, that's what I said.
Well, they resurrected all my favorite characters from the dead, too. They were all up there.
It was nice to see him alive.
Yeah.
Well, especially like some of the older dudes that are, some of the ones that were kind of, muddied up. There's like, there are a lot of great looking people. You're like, I didn't know that. What a striking group.
Right.
Was Mountain, is he a good looking guy?
The Mountain he's in real life, the World's Strongest Man competition. He does that. I think he's doing that right now.
Oh, is it unavailable?
I do think they should drop the lights for that, just as an homage to that one episode where you couldn't see what was happening in Game of Thrones. That might have been kind of funny. I have them all go, I can't even see what are you? Too soon?
Now, okay, so let's talk a little bit about what people are upset about today.
Okay.
Because
always get worked out.
People get worked up. We got to be upset about something now.
Yes.
Because social media demands it of us.
It does.
Okay.
We're not allowed to. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to just enjoy our lives.
People are upset about this and that.
Yeah. Okay. So they're upset about the fact that first Julia Louis-Dreyfus didn't get Best Actress in a Comedy Series, which would set a record for something, right? Because she's gotten a number of years for Veep. She got it. The Old Adventures of New Christine.
And Seinfeld.
Or The New Adventures of Old Christine.
New Adventures of Old Christine. Yes. Yeah, and she lost out to Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who's the creator, producer, writer, and star of Fleabag, which is it's only had a two-season run. In fact, it's completed its two-season run. You can watch it on Amazon. It's a British show based on a one-woman play that she did. It's very funny and very bawdy, and she is a real darling right now of Hollywood. She's going to host Saturday Night Live this fall, so I think she's going to. This is going to be a breakthrough, but it was still an upset for her to beat out Julia Louis-Dreyfus because everybody thought she was going to win for Veep,
and she just she was coming off of that was the season they had to postpone doing because she had cancer, and then mm-hmm. they ran it at the same time that they were running Game of Thrones, and that seemed to be.
I think we've talked about that was a mistake. It didn't get the attention it deserved as one of the best comedies of this century and a great final season. And then Game of Thrones did win in the drama series, tying two or three other shows for the most wins of all time. And as a show, as an entire entity, it's the most decorated show in Emmy history. It's won the most Emmys.
So what are people like Lauren upset about when it comes to Game of Thrones? Not enough?
Well, we can ask Lauren directly. Lauren, what are you upset about?
Lauren, are you upset about this?
Well, yes. I was amazed that there weren't any really directing wins for Game of Thrones. Whether it was specific episodes, things like that. Peter Dinklage obviously deserved his award, but I couldn't believe none of the women, and I believe I also read now officially after yesterday, throughout that whole series, not once did a woman win an Emmy that acted in that show. And they're phenomenal.
I agree.
How is that possible?
Peter Dinklage has this, it was given the scenes. I mean, he's a great actor, but also had the most speeches and kind of, probably the most endearing and likable character throughout. But I would agree with Lauren. I think maybe the best performance throughout the run of that show was Lena Headey as Cersei, who was this, who could be this absolute monster. but yeah, you know, horrible person. Bad, yeah. And but then they had that whole storyline. Remember the sparrow, the you know the evil guy that was mm-hmm. imprisoning her and the walk of shame and all that. And then when she got her revenge, you were rooting for her. I mean, it was amazing to see that arc. You know, she had the best you know celebratory glass of wine ever as the entire church filled with you know zealots and oppressors exploded right. by her design. So but she was great in that show.
Okay, so. We must point something out here. For the Emmys.
Yes.
This is, I think, an important thing because it's confusing.
Yes.
The voters are voting on a specific episode, right? They're not the arc of the show, not all the shows. Each episode gets a...
For directing, it would be yes. a particular episode. For the acting, it's for the... For the series, for the entire series, but you're correct. They for the other things, for writing, it would be for one episode right. of a particular show.
So if you
not
have
a whole season,
bunch of shows, so in a category, if you have seven in a category, five of them could have been Game of Thrones.
That's true.
And
sometimes,
and then they cancel each other out because then there's the one that's the hardest part.
There's other weird things too, like the best directing in a comedy series Emmy went to a director for Saturday Night Live. And I would say with all due respect to the directors of Saturday Night Live, it's sort of like being the director at a football game. I mean, there are certain ways to do it. It's not easy. But when you watch Saturday Night Live, no one goes, that was a beautifully directed show. There's like, you know, the cameras are where they're at. You know, the actors come out and do their thing. The writing, obviously, is the key, as opposed to a Documentary Now, which was in the same category, which is this brilliant parody of a documentary series where the directing there is more like Oscar-level good.
Right.
And that true. Lost out to a guy that just said, okay, make sure that,
camera
you know, that, yeah, that Kate McKinnon can see the cue cards. I mean, really, right?
Totally two different skills.
Yeah, and even I love Last Week with John Oliver, but it's up against nightly talk shows. So, you know, that's a brilliant show. But they have an entire week. He's the first one to say, like, that's the whole point of it, Last Week with John Oliver. They have right. an entire week to do this beautifully, wonderfully, hilariously scripted show.
And they do, what do they do, 20 episodes a year?
A year. And whereas if you're Kimmel or Fallon or any of those guys, you're doing four or five a week.
Right.
That's just not the same, you know,
I know.
Skill set.
I know. I
so think there's
they
that.
Gotta, they got to redo the categories. I think this is the problem, and there's too many things because television is everything now.
Yeah, they just it's you know, and obviously the other thing is with so many shows, even if you're you love a lot of TV shows. Back in the day, you would know every single show, every single actor because it was basically three or four networks, and even then maybe HBO would get. Now it's like people right. are waiting for things that have gone off the air that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
What a 7-season run we had on Peaky Happy Blinders, Fleabag. You know, right. Hey, where's that? Well, it's on the Hulu. You know, I mean, it's just hard to keep right. up with
it
everything.
It is. Well, if you think about it, HBO won the most with 34, and Netflix 27, Amazon with 15. You had to go down NBC to go to the networks of, you know, that you used to win all of them.
Yeah.
Got 7. So you think about how the landscape has changed and how Netflix and Amazon are picking up so many Emmys.
Was it This Is It or whatever? What's the name of
this is
the
us,
show?
This Is Us. That did not win this year.
It didn't?
Where everyone's always dying.
Right. And crying. There's a lot of crying.
It's very
and then
sad.
Just go back, then there's a flashback to when it was sad or even more difficult for the family 20 years ago. And then like, oh, that's how they're connected. That's really sad.
Best man crying of all time.
I thought that Milo Ventimiglia guy like was killed off in the first season, but he keeps getting nominated. So I don't watch the show. I'm sure there's an explanation. Okay. And God bless. But that's, again, to Rose's point, I think this is why the networks are probably not the best home anymore for the Emmys, that eventually it's going to be on one of these streaming services because they have way more winners.
Yeah, good point.
And maybe the Emmy becomes like the Grammy. And it is a more ubiquitous, it's a pretty ubiquitous award. I mean, it's to get the Emmy is less of what it, I think.
Yeah.
I think the performances are better. It's more competitive in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So the people who are getting them are, you're getting these people who would be Oscar winners in other
Absolutely.
Places, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got Patricia Arquette,
yes.
right? Just one, I think her second year in a row for doing.
Is the series on Hulu that she's brilliant in, based on one of those true crime stories about a mother who you know, gave her, you know, that Munchausen by proxy where the parent makes the kid sick, you know, with poison or whatever. Yeah. In the real life case, she plays the mother who did that and had everybody believing her daughter was much younger than she really was. Even had surgeries performed on her daughter who was not sick at all. The daughter eventually killed the mother. It's a real life story. And this this Hulu series. I think it's only six episodes.
What is it called? How do I not even
the
know?
Act. The Act. Well, that's part of the problem. It's like
that is
the
a problem.
Act. It's like what is the Act? You know, they should have said, you know, daughter kills crazy mother.
Maybe. Mommy issues. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
Man. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck. Congratulations.
Everyone's a winner at the Emmys.
It's right.
Except for that guy that did the voiceover Glennon. Thing. Who today, you know, Glennon. Is calling his agent up and saying, you're done.
I just looked it up. He was Reno 911.
Yeah, he was one of the guys.
That guy. I liked him in Reno 911.
He's a funny
guy.
He
wore the tight shorts, the real short shorts.
I think his mistake was in taking the job.
It's, yeah.
You know, once you did it, I don't know anybody who could have done that. And
well, doesn't he see the script beforehand?
I would think so. And maybe he just decided to pretend like he was seeing the jokes for the first time.
But you never know how it's going to come together, especially without a host. It just didn't seem to ever have like a rhythm to the show.
If Chris Rock made those same jokes on stage, they'd be funny. Because then, you know, he's making fun of the audience to their face. But even though it was voiceover and he was there, you kind of felt like
hiding.
He was undercutting. Yeah. I mean, literally, as the winners were going up, he'd be making fun of their work.
Right.
That's odd.
Hold damn things odd, Richard Roper.
There you go. That's why we're here.
That's exactly right. We're here to point out what's odd.
That's me.
There's quite a bit of it. All right, let's check in now with Kim. Tell us what's odd in the news.
Roe, Illinois lawmakers will take up the vaping health crisis this fall. We'll bring you the plan coming up.